Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I just want to apologize on behalf of the House members. We are 9 members down right now on the floor, which is why it was necessary for us to remain on the floor there, and I apologize for keeping all of you waiting.
No problem. Thank you for showing up so we can kick this off. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. Today is June 12th, 2017, and today we will be opening a public hearing and possible work sessions on SB 201 and SB 214. But before we get started, LFO, could you give us a background on SB 201?
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, SB 201 relates to the salary of employees of universities with a governing board under the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan. The measure is a narrowly defined technical adjustment to statute. The measure is effective on the 91st day after adjournment. There is out on OLIS a preliminary staff measure summary, a fiscal impact and a revenue impact. The measure has no expenditure impact and a minimal a revenue impact, and there is no amendment to the measure. Thank you, Mr.
Okay,
Co-Chair.
Thank you. And before we ask for Senator Devlin to come forward, where are we going to do this is that we're going to hold a public hearing on both SB 201 and SB 214. We will do a recess after 201 to allow Senator Devlin to complete his public hearing on SB 214. And LFO, could you give us an update on 214, please?
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 214 is relating to the eligibility of postdoctoral scholars for retirement benefits. The measure is a narrowly defined technical adjustment to statute effective on the 91st day after adjournment. However, the measure applies only to postdoctoral students who begin employment as a postdoctoral scholar on or after the effective date of the measure. Out on OLIS, the Oregon Legislative Information System, is a preliminary staff measure summary, a fiscal impact and a revenue impact, as well as a -2 amendment to the measure. The measure and the amendment have a minimal expenditure impact and no revenue impact. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Thank you. So right now we will open up a public hearing. Senator Devlin, please. On SB 201.
For the record, Senator Richard Devlin, Senate District 19. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I am here this afternoon to speak briefly on Senate Bill 201. Senate Bill 201 resolves an implementation error from 2003 related to public university out-of-state employees' participation in Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan, often referred to as OPSERV. SB 201 would retroactively include compensation that is not taxable in Oregon for all employees hired between August 29, 2003 and December 31, 2016. The university's primary goal is to ensure that any employees affected by this issue are made whole. This statutory amendment would be the most cost-effective and least burdensome way to resolve this issue because the universities have already been making contributions to the pension plan and IAP based on the affected employee's total compensation, including compensation that is not taxable in Oregon. Any other solution would require PERS to refund the university's contributions to enable the universities to make the affected employees whole outside of PERS via private settlements. Thank you for this opportunity to comment, and I would be happy to answer any questions. And if I might actually just speak a little bit extemporaneously here, fundamentally what you have is we created OPSERV in 2003 as a new system. There were provisions in that, and there were implementation issues where these particular employees were not recognized that we would have some university employees that would actually be doing work outside of the state. It was written in such a way that only the income that would be taxable in Oregon would be subject to them earning retirement. That's not the way Tier 1 works or Tier 2 works, so it's actually only an issue for OPSERV employees. And you literally have employees who believe that they've had these benefits, their employer has been paying for these benefits for this entire period of time, And the reality is they will have benefits that they will be denied, and that we will probably end up having to reach some settlement with those employees just for basically a Scribner's and an implementation error. Yes.
Senator Johnson.
Senator Devlin, how big is the universe?
I have been told that it's a couple hundred employees at the most that are impacted.
Ah, my colleague has the answer. It's 68 tune of $416,000.
Yes.
Okay. And then the only other question that I had from the staff measure summary, if I may. From the staff measure summary, you've already covered this, but I wanted to just double check. The last sentence in the staff measure summary says, also the public universities may seek a credit or refund for prior contributions to PERS on behalf of these employees. If it was a Scrivener's error, is not one side bearing the full benefit of burden of having credited benefits to these employees? Is this not a shared screw-up, for lack of a better word?
Well, I don't know, Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson. Basically, as being a person, and I believe, Senator Johnson, you were here that went through that period also, this was a very tumultuous period, one of our largest periods of reform. People were putting a package together at the last minute.
I remember all of that.
Errors were probably made in the package. You've basically been putting employees out there that believe that they have these benefits and they may not have them because of this, so you put the universities and the employees in a bad position. These benefits have been paid for. The universities have been making the deposits under PERS, both for the regular OPSERV accounts and for IAP. I think you're basically, however this happened, this is the easiest way to resolve this issue. Otherwise, I believe the universities are going to end up in litigation with these employees that will probably end up costing them and the state significantly more.
One more question, Mr. Chair. Does this settlement, this bill, the passage of the bill, and the payout to the employees of the, or the postdoc students?
That's a different issue. The postdocs are a different issue.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson.
That's the second bill.
That's the second
sorry.
Bill.
Sorry. My question still holds. Does this settlement then end this, or does a private right of action survive on behalf of any of these employees who may feel aggrieved by what has happened to them?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Johnson, I believe, I'm not an attorney, I believe this resolves this, because so long as these employees get the benefits they were promised that they thought they had earned, I don't believe anyone would have standing.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Or regard on SB 201. No, I'm going to recess the public hearing on SB 201.
Just close the public hearing.
Close it. All right. Well, I'm told I need to close it.
I believe that's.
I'd be ready for a motion if the chair were willing to entertain one, unless there's a recommendation that we need to hear. Do you want to move on this bill right now?
Yeah. Are there any other? Anybody else in line for testimony on this? Okay, seeing none. So.
Would you like to open a work session on?
Yep. So right now we're going to open up a work session on SB 201 relating to salaries of employees of universities with governing boards under the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan, LFO.
Mr. Co-Chair, LFO recommends that SB 201 be moved to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendation.
Okay. Senator Johnson has moved LFO's have moved the SB 201 to the full committee with due pass recommendations. Are there any objections?
Not.
Representative Nierman?
I'll be a no vote on this.
Okay.
I think there's a comment over there.
Well, I have a comment. You can pass it, and I'll do the comment after you.
Okay. So there are no other objections to the bill? I should have asked, was there any discussion to the bill first? None? Motion carries.
And under discussion. The sheet that we showed in here showed 68 employees. If that is different, I would like the committee to be notified.
Okay, noted. You got that, John? Okay, so we need a carrier.
I'll volunteer to full in the Senate.
Okay, we have Senator Johnson's carrier full in the Senate.
Sure.
And Representative Gumbert on the House floor. Okay.
Unless Senator Devlin, I would certainly defer to him.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to hold a public hearing and work session on SB 214 relating to the eligibility of postdoctoral scholars for retirement benefits. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, again, Senator Richard Devlin, Senate District 19. Postdoctoral scholar positions at Oregon's public research universities are federally funded and provide critical short-term training opportunities for graduates with doctoral degrees before they transition to permanent employment in higher education or the private sector. A key challenge of Oregon's competitiveness is the high cost of non-salary other payroll expenses, often referred to in Ways and Means as OPE. SB 214 with the Dash 2 amendment proposes a statutory amendment to exclude postdoctoral scholars from the employee's eligibility for PERS only. Postdocs in the optional retirement plan which universities have would continue to be able to participate in the optional retirement plan and could choose to contribute up to 4% of their salary, and institutions would match employees' contributions up to 4%. By eliminating or reducing contributions to retirement programs in which postdoctoral scholars will likely never fully vest, Oregon would create a level playing field with other states in its efforts to secure more federal research dollars. This is a small fix to part of a larger issue and one that is sound and broadly supported. I urge your support. And now if I could go away from my prepared comments, which I only had an opportunity to read once before. basically what this is that the universities are competing for various grants. Postdoctoral students, people that already have a doctorate, come in to do maybe a year, 2 or 3 years work. It takes 5 years to actually vest in PERS. It makes very little sense for them actually to be in PERS. Many of them will probably not stay in this state, and many of them will not stay with that institution. So this simply permits the institution, in this particular case for postdoctoral students, not to offer these individuals PERS as a benefit, because it doesn't make sense for them to be making contributions into the system. And given the rates that the university would have to pay to bring them into the system, to pay the broad costs, the legacy cost of PERS, it makes them relatively less competitive in terms of getting federal grants, because the cost of performing those federal grants is significantly higher than it might be in other states.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Are there questions for the Senator? Before we move forward, we're going to close the public hearing on SB 214. Before we move forward to the work session, on the previous one, SB 201, please let the record show that Representative Co-Chair Smith is excused. And now we're going to open up a work session on SB 214 relating to the eligibility of postdoctoral scholars for retirement benefits, LFO.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the committee, there is a Dash 2 amendment that needs to be adopted. The senator explained what the Dash 2 does, and if you'd like, I could go into detail, go over that again, or it's at the committee's pleasure. Mr. Okay. Co-Chair.
Any questions regarding the Dash 2 amendment?
I would like the professional staff to review the Dash 2, please. Okay.
Mr. Co-Chair and members of the subcommittee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, Ms. Big coach here.
The Dash 2 amendment to Senate Bill 214 replaces the measure. It establishes a definition of postdoctoral scholar position classification for public universities and the Oregon Health and Science University. Begins on or after the measure's effective date, a postdoctoral scholar is not eligible to become a member of the public employees retirement system or the Oregon Public Service Retirement Plan. establishes an alternative retirement benefit under the optional retirement plan in statute, provides a postdoctoral scholar and employer contributions to an optional, provides for a postdoctoral scholar and employer contributions to the optional retirement plan, provides for vesting of a postdoctoral position in an optional retirement plan, provides an irrevocable option for a postdoctoral scholar to re-elect to become a member of PERS or continue to participate in an optional retirement plan upon being hired by a public university if hired as a tenured track faculty position or researcher. The measure is prospective and only applies to postdoctoral scholars on or after the effective date of the measure. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Okay. Are there any questions?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, Representative.
So this is kind of a heads I win, tails you lose kind of thing. So if they are a postdoctoral scholar and they are only there for 3 years or something and they don't vest in PERS, then they don't make any contribution to PERS, so they win that way. If they are a postdoctoral scholar and then they stay on with the university or go to another Oregon university, then they do vest in PERS, and the time served counts towards their PERS, right?
Not.
Of O
or not?
Hmm. PERS is in the room, Mr. Chair.
Yep. Who we have a PERS?
Thank you. I appreciate that.
For the record, please state your name.
Sure. Co-Chair Manning and Representative Nierman, for the record, I'm Marjorie Taylor, Senior Policy Director at PERS. To your question, no. If a postdoc is employed by a public university after they finish their postdoc, let's say at OSU, and then transfers to the U of O, they would have to start their clock over. So start with their five-year clock.
So it's kind of revenue neutral thing then, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the current state now? Do they pay the universities pay into PERS for them right now or not?
Chair Manning and Representative Nierman, my name is Craig Ashford. I'm the Assistant General Counsel for the University of Oregon. Currently, if postdoctoral scholars are in PERS, then we pay both the pension side contributions for their benefits and then also the 6% contribution on their behalf for the individual account program.
So we are paying for them now? Then.
We are.
Okay.
Okay. Representative Marsh?
So, thank you, Chair. So to clarify, this will be a less expensive alternative for the university system.
Senator Manning and Representative Marsh, yes.
But it's less money going into PERS, or it's less money going into PERS then.
Okay. Are there further discussion? LFO?
Mr. Co-Chair, the -2 amendment needs to be moved into the measure.
Mr. Chair, I would move the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 214.
Senator Johnson moved the adoption of the -2 amendments to SB 214. Discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, it's adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, LFO recommends Senate Bill 214 as amended by the -2 be moved to the Full Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chair, I move that the amended with the -2 Senate Bill 214 be moved to the Full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Johnson has moved that SB 214 as amended by the -2 to be moved to the Full Ways and Means Committee. Are there discussions? Representative Marsh?
Thank you. I just would like the record to reflect, I think both of the bills that we've heard today are pragmatic efforts to sort of address these niggling little problems with the retirement system and the university. And I think they're both good measures to forward.
Thank you. Are there further comments? Are there any objections? Mm-hmm. Representative Nierman?
Yeah, there'll be an objection.
Any other? Motion carries. And we're going to need carriers on the bill. I'll go ahead and do this one on the Senate and the full. And Representative Marsh will carry it on the House floor.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we close the work session on SB 214. Seeing that there is no further work for the committee at this time, are there any other questions? If there are no other questions.
Is there any meeting tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay. No meetings. We are on short notice, though. So far, I don't see anything or heard anything for Tuesday or nor Wednesday, but we are on short notice. With that being said, we are adjourned.
We're on 1 hour notice for these. Okay. We're on 1 hour notice for these.